Hello, everybody. You are listening to Player One on Sin. Before we jump into the show, we'd just like to acknowledge and pay respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boomerang language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations on whose unceded lands our office and studio stands. And Sin extends this respect to the traditional custodians and peoples of the lands and waters our content reaches. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. All right, Ravindu, how you doing?
I'm good. Back from a two-week hiatus, but I'm back on the show.
Back on the show, pumped to get going. That's right, you are listening to Player One here on Sin with Zach and Ravindu, where we talk all things gaming. Now, you've been away for 2 weeks. I've also been away for a little bit. So we've had plenty of time to play some games, I'm guessing.
Yes, I have played some games. Played excellent games.
Ooh, exciting. We'll be talking about that a bit later on the playlist. And we'll also be doing our deep dives, of course. And at the very top of the show, we'll have our news headlines and new releases coming at you. But if you want to find more Player One in your life, you can always follow us on Instagram at Player One Sin. That is Player One S-Y-N. Or listen to our podcast, you know? We've got some good stuff coming up there. That's just Player One wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure you're looking out for that. Make sure you're staying tuned. And of course, make sure you're giving us a follow so that we can just hang out, you know? Tell us what you're playing and all that jazz. Yeah, give us some recommendations. Because there's a lot of games coming out.
It's going to be low-key. It's going to be chill. It's the moody weather tonight in Melbourne.
It is the moody weather tonight in Melbourne. It's very dark and cloudy. It's ideal. It's ideal gamer weather.
Grab a coffee, gamers, grab a
gamers,
tea.
Gamers love this stuff.
We've got the news and new releases segment. We're going to kick us off with the Celeste developer Maddie Thornton confirms the delay of the upcoming game Earthblade. Developed by Extremely Okay Games, originally planned for this year, but it's delayed to 2025. Zach, have you played Celeste?
I love Celeste. This one stings a little because I am very much looking forward to Earthblade. I adore Celeste so much. When I heard this was getting delayed, I was like, oh, but also, like, I want it to be good, so I don't mind.
In the immortal words of Shigeru Miyamoto, delayed game.
Oh, God.
Bad game.
Oh, God. You do know that quote is, like, fake, right?
Yeah, I know it's a meme.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, for a while, I thought it was genuine.
It makes sense in principle.
But also, I mean, I don't want to get too into it right now because it's news time. But, like, I feel like a lot of games that get delayed a lot end up being bad. And that's why they got delayed a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to some not great news. But Certain Affinity have announced the first set of layoffs in the studio's history. So Certain Affinity have worked on games like Halo Infinite, Call of Duty, and Hearthstone. And the CEO, Max Hoberman, announced on the company website that 25 employees have been let go for the first time in over 17 years of the studio's history, which is not great, especially because it kind of just adds to the ever-present layoff issue in the industry at the moment, because has been kind of recorded over... so far this year, there have been a lot of video game layoffs. Kotaku have a really, really interesting article that they update continuously, pretty much every week, announcing how many cumulative layoffs there have been just this year alone. So it's not great. And that's reported by IGN. We've also got Take-Two Interactive intending to purchase Gearbox Entertainment. So Gearbox Entertainment, which is currently or was previously owned by Embracer Group, is being sold to Take-Two Interactive. Gearbox is a studio behind Borderlands, Risk of Rain, a few other series, and Take-Two currently owns studios such as Rockstar Games, 2K, or the mobile developer Zynga. And Embracer are going to retain some of the rights or some of the studio. So Gearbox Publishing San Francisco, which will be renamed, alongside their assets such as the Remnant franchise and the upcoming Hyper Light Breaker. But Gearbox, the core studio behind like Borderlands and Risk of Rain, is being purchased by Take-Two Interactive. It's reported by Press Start Australia. I think that's interesting. I think... I mean, video games, studio purchases have kind of been, or studio mergers have been a fairly big hot button issue in the past few years. I think this is interesting to see kind of what comes of it, especially because Take-Two, I mean, they kind of have a bit of a variety of studios under their belt, so yeah, it's interesting.
We'll see. I see the obvious match because 2K and Gearbox published Borderlands.
Ah.
Yeah. And 2K Australia published Tales from the Borderlands. Oh, not Tales. The pre-sequel.
So, oh, there you go. Okay, well, I guess it makes sense then.
Yeah. Not the most outlandish.
No.
No.
No, this is not, but, you know, Microsoft buying Ubisoft. No, not Ubisoft, Bethesda, sorry.
Excited to see what Hyperlife Drifter, Hyperlife Breaker becomes during the merger, because Drifter was an amazing game.
Well, that's being retained. That's being retained by Embracer Group.
That's it. And last bit of gaming news is Marvel confirmed rumors they're working on a team-based PvP shooter. The trailer just dropped, titled Marvel Rivals, with the closed beta starting in May.
Yeah, closed alpha starting in May. There were some rumors about this that I remember hearing, and they kind of got, you know, confirmed. I think it's... PvP shooter makes sense for, I think, a superhero franchise.
Yeah.
It's a very... Look, it's a more logical game than whatever Marvel Avengers or Suicide Squad were trying to be. If you want your multiplayer, endlessly sort of playable, you know, game, like, a team shooter makes the most sense, in my opinion, for this sort of property.
Yeah.
Did you catch the trailer?
I did not catch the trailer. Oh, I did see the trailer. A little bit of it. It seemed very flat? I don't know. The art style should be able to pop more. Comic book. It seems pretty toned down, which is a shame.
It is presumably still pretty early in its, like, development, so hopefully it will start to sort of perk up a bit. I do find it also interesting that, at least if depending on how true they stay to sort of the characters, it might put less of an emphasis on, like, being a shooter compared to a lot of other, like, you know, Overwatch, Team Fortress 2, stuff like that.
Mm.
Because a lot of the characters are fairly physical, I guess.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
Wide variety of skills.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see how they translate.
Yeah.
I did see Hulk shooting something. Like, it was very quick in the trailer. So I don't know about that.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I like the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just onto new releases, not too much out this week at all, but on April 3rd, we've got Deceit 2 coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S, and on April 4th, we've got Freedom Planet 2 coming to PS5, Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, and Turbo Golf Racing coming to PS5, Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Very interested to see how Freedom Planet 2 turns out. Because I really want to play the first one. I've played, the demo, and I think I played a little bit, maybe at, like, a friend's place or something, but very much enjoyed it.
What is that game? I've heard of it, but I don't really know of it.
So I believe it started as, like, a Sonic fan game and then just kind of became its own thing. It's very much an old-school, you know, 2D platformer with an emphasis on speed. So it's a Sonic-y kind of game.
Nice. Sonic-y games are always fun.
And we are going to jump into the playlist, which is what we've been playing this week. So, I will kick us off. I have been jumping into Metal Mind, which I spoke a little bit about last week, and I will have a review out for that later this week. I'll say that I wasn't sold on it at first, but it got so much better, which I'm very happy about. So, it is a top-down... roguelike, sort of bullet helly. It's very Enter the Gungeon. You've played Enter the Gungeon, right?
I have, yes.
Yes, it's very, very much in the same vein as that. But, like, the whole time I was playing this game, I was just thinking, like, you, Ravindu, you would love this game. It is a roguelike with meta progression, which I know you like, but it's also like the whole sort of gimmick of the game is that like you play as a mech and it's like mech building, so you can like get different parts. And it's like got this real sci-fi-y kind of like science fiction fantasy-esque aesthetic where it's like all robots, but also there are like deities and like devils that you can find and stuff like that.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
It's very cool. I will say gameplay-wise, it starts pretty badly. It makes a pretty bad first impression, which I was pretty, like, I'm pretty frustrated with. It's like, it hides the cool stuff. The first level is very not fun. Like, it's not terrible. I've played worse. It's fine. It's just, it gets so much better after that. And I'm like, why did you make me wait to have fun in the game? Why not put all this cool stuff at the start or just make the start cooler? There are also some, like, very confusing mechanics. Like, whenever you get a new weapon and check its stats, you're kind of just overloaded with a lot of numbers, which, like, if you really like, optimizing builds and stuff like that, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you might, like, find that really cool. I personally was, like, a lot of these stats don't really seem to do much, so I don't really care about them, unfortunately. And it can be a bit overwhelming, which, again, it's like, why are you throwing all of this stuff at me when the cool stuff is just right there? But when you get to that cool stuff, it is very cool. Like, the boss fight designs are phenomenal. The weapons can be very fun. A lot of them are just kind of your basic
shooting
guns and stuff. Yeah. But some of them can be very, very entertaining. So yeah, it's definitely got a lot going for it. But I won't say too much more. Like I said, I'll have a review for that out later this week. What about you?
I've been playing Inscription. Per your about recommendations. Damn time.
What do you think?
And oh my god, it is intense. Like, I get it. I get where your love of the game comes from. It's, you know, experiencing that meta game, you know, getting off the table and playing, like, exploring the escape room, quote unquote. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is amazing.
How far into it are you?
So, I'm on the third boss of the first act. No spoilers for anyone potentially listening along.
Yep, I won't say too much on that, but I will say, if you like metagamey stuff, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet!
I just want to keep playing it. But you do need a good, like, hour or two just to sit down and really engross in the game, and I haven't been able to find that recently.
Yeah, fair. What do you think of the card game itself?
Oh, the card game is really fun. I was a bit worried that it was like, oh, it's gonna be a bit too simple, but no, it throws a lot of stuff at you gradually. You keep dying, it's like, oh, this new mechanic, and it keeps you're learning, but you're also playing at the same time. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'll say because the card game was originally developed as a game jam, and I think it's still available on, like, itch.io. It's just called, like, Sacrifices Must Be Made or something like that, and then it got kind of turned into Inscription later on, which is very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the card game is genuinely very fun, which I'm glad, because, like, if the card game wasn't fun, even with the really cool other stuff going on, it kind of would have fallen apart.
Mm.
But I don't want to say too much on Inscription. Yeah. I don't know if you want to keep talking it because, like, until you've played more.
My last note was, we won't talk about it until I finish the game.
Yeah, cool.
Pass it back to you.
As per your recommendation, but also I've been wanting to play this game for ages, I got into Hi-Fi Rush. It's really good. It's so cool. It's so cool.
Cool
it's
just, is the right word for it.
Yeah, it's overwhelmingly cool. It's got a very good sense of style. Graphically, it looks phenomenal. Aesthetically, it looks phenomenal. It runs really well as well, which is very important for a game where timing does matter a fair bit. I'll say some of the controls are a little awkward, especially, like, platforming. Did you feel that when you played a bit of it?
I was playing on PC with a controller, and I didn't really have any issues like that.
I feel like... No, you go.
No, you go.
Well, I feel like it's... platforming feels a bit too stiff. I don't know if your jumps are also in time with the music. I think they are.
Yeah.
Which means there's kind of like deliberate input delay to your jumping, which I don't notice in combat, but I definitely kind of feel like the platforming is just a little weird. Just something about it feels a little weird. Your jump feels a little too vertical. Like you kind of shoot straight up, but you don't really have much forward momentum. It's not the end of the world. This is not a platformer. It doesn't really matter that much. It's just something I did notice. The other thing I noticed is this soundtrack is very good, which is, that's the important thing. Is the music good in the music game? Yes.
Yeah. It won Best Music in last year's Game Awards, and...
Wow, I'm so shocked.
Yep.
Incredible. No, it, definitely great soundtrack, good use of licensed music. They don't overdo it on the licensed stuff as well, but, like, when they do, it's like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I think the story is a little bit predictable. I don't really care, though. It's still fun, so... If the game is making me laugh, I don't care.
Yeah, the humor is on point. The writing,
on point. Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like...
All right.
Would you play other rhythm games after playing Hi-Fi Rush? Or you just stick into Hi-Fi Rush?
Well, I've already played... I mean, I've played Crypt of the Necrodancer, which I guess is in that similar, like, rhythm genre mashup.
Yeah.
Of, like, a dungeon crawler, though. And I really liked Crypt of the Necrodancer. I found its rhythm elements didn't end up mattering that much, which I don't really feel like they don't really matter that much in Hi-Fi Rush either.
It's for the combos and bigger damage. I always try to time
Yeah. Well, also, it's for fun. It's definitely, it's more of a factor in Crypt of the Necrodancer because you literally can't move if you don't time it to the beat at least decently well. Have you played Necrodancer?
No, I've not.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Soundtrack's very good. I definitely want to play more traditional rhythm games as well. It's a genre that I've never really gotten that into.
It's intense. Every time I go to the arcade... The person in front of me is just like, their fingers are just moving so fast on like the keypad.
Oh my god.
And I cannot keep up. And I'm like, I'm just proud that I like finished that level. Yeah.
Nice. Well, what else have you been playing?
The final game. Oh, sorry. Soulstone Survivor. It is a highly addictive vampire-like TM game.
Vampire-like?
Yeah. I'm just...
Didn't we establish that the precursor was Magic Survival?
I am fully embracing a Magic Survival-like game.
Oh, no. I think Vampire-like will get the idea across more. Let's just call it Survival-like.
Whatever you call it, it is... That game turned up to 11. It's just got like so much content. It's really meaty. The gameplay itself is pretty simple because most of these games are. But like there's like a lot of things and a lot of moving elements that you can do. Like there's runes, there's weapons, characters, skill trees. There's like mini events within each run. It's Yeah, they're all interlinked really well. And one thing I want to highlight, which is rare, is that you cannot AFK at any point in that game.
Really?
Yeah. Vampire Survivor.
Right, because...
Late game. I can stand still and be alive in like 20 minutes. This game, it's constantly moving around.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, Magic Survival... I haven't played Vampire Survivors yet, but Magic Survival... It's much the same, where it's almost like you're trying to build a build so that you don't have to move, because eventually you're not going to really have much choice.
Yeah, exactly.
Which can get pretty frustrating.
Yeah, it works to Souls-like in that sense because there's fewer enemies, but they hit harder.
Right, I like that.
Relatively, you're still getting hoarded, but there's enough space for you to move around.
I really like that.
Yeah. And there was a major content update just last week, but then it got reverted because the community did not like it. It just got negative feedback, so I'm really sad about that. And hopefully they bring it back soon.
Well, that sounds like a game I'm gonna try.
Soulstone Survivor. And
well, I've got one more, which I'll go into a bit more a bit later. But Balatro, you need to play Balatro. But also, you shouldn't play Balatro because you'll start playing Balatro and then you won't play anything else.
Right. Okay.
The only thing I have written for my notes for Balatro is I put 50 hours into this game in like 2 weeks. Please help. Because that might not be a lot for some people, but that's a lot for me.
That is a lot.
For one game, here's the thing, I didn't even realize. Like, I was playing Balatro and I was like, this is a fun game, right? Because I heard about it in like all the gaming publications. Like, this is a fun game, but I don't really see what the hype is all about. And then like this week, like yesterday, I was like, how much time have I actually spent playing this game anyway? And I was like, wait, 50 hours? What? How? How did that happen? But anyway, that's for the deep dive. What about you?
Oh, my deep dive is Guacamelee 2. A bit older game.
Ooh.
A bit older game, but 2D Metroidvania. Very, like, wears its inspiration on its sleeve. I'll talk about that after a bit later.
Yeah, because right now we're going to go to a track. Let us know what you have been playing on Instagram. That is at player1syn, player1, S-Y-N, all one word. What have you been playing? Do you have any recommendations for us? You are listening to Player1 on Syn with Zach and Ravindu. Ravindu, how are you going?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Doing great, that's so good.
Talking about video games.
Well, let's not keep the audience waiting then. What video games are we talking about? What video game are you talking about?
I'm going to talk about Guacamelee 2. Guacamelee.
Guacamelee?
Guacamelee 2.
Guacamelee. That's more like it.
What are you going to hit us up with first?
I will be going all over Balatro because, my God, this game is consuming my life. All right, I'll kick us off. So Balatro, it's kind of become commonly known as the poker roguelike, which is kind of accurate, but also not really. It is a card-based deck-building roguelike where you're trying to, basically, you've got score thresholds that you need to beat, and you get points by playing poker hands. So you play like a straight or a flush or high card or whatever. And the whole idea of the game is to break the game. It's basically how to cheat at card games, but like in a fun way, where the whole idea is stacking the deck in your favor as much as possible. So throughout your run, you'll get different cards that you can use to modify your deck. So you start with a standard 52 card deck.
Yeah.
And then you can get, for example, cards that let you like destroy some of your cards, so you'll delete them and stuff that'll let you like duplicate some cards, so you can end up with like 10 aces in your deck and just play ace after ace after ace if you want. Or you can try and set up so that all your cards are basically the same suit, so you can constantly play a flush, things like that. And that's fun. But where the game gets real wacky is the Joker cards.
Yeah.
And the Jokers are basically your permanent, or not permanent, but your like run upgrades. And they are very fun. So every time you play a hand, you have like a point value and then a point multiplier. And you can get Jokers that can add to both and then also like multiply your multiplier. And the whole idea is to try and find these like ping pong combos of like just adding points and adding multipliers. It's wild. It kind of sounds boring when you describe it like that, but the game is so well designed. Everything is so snappy and so fast, and there's very little downtime. Like, there is nothing to do in between runs. You just run and then you just do another run.
Right.
Which is why it's so easy to just keep on playing this game, and it's really fun.
Damn.
Like, I definitely see why a lot of people are calling it a Game of the Year contender. I don't know if I would say it's... like, I haven't played that many games that have come out this year. I do think it's a bit, like... it's not simple. It's just... I don't really think it brings that much new to the table, I'll say that. It's just incredibly refined. Right? Like, if you've played a roguelike deck builder before, you've probably seen a lot of these mechanics before. but just never as refined and as tight and just as fun as it is in Bellatro.
Interesting. So
I actually caught a I listened to an interview with the developer Local Thunk on a podcast. I'm just going to pull up the name. On the podcast Eggplant, The Secret Lives of Games, which is like a group of game developers and people who have worked in the industry interviewing other developers. And honestly, like, play the game a little bit, then listen to that podcast episode. It will give you just so much new insight into the game and, like, hearing the developers' kind of thought process for making it. It's fantastic.
Wow. So it's an indie game, small team?
As far as I know, one person.
Oh my god, even better.
Yeah. In that podcast, in that interview, he said that he kind of just started it because he was making an online version of a game that he played with friends. I can't remember what it was called. It was called, like Big 52 or something like that, like a card game of some kind. And then just kind of kept iterating on it until it turned into this.
Damn. So it started off like a physical version and just kept going.
No. It was a physical card. Like, it's a traditional, like, card game.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very fun.
There's no, like, story or plot, is there?
There is no plot. Right, there is no plot to this game whatsoever.
It's playing cards.
It's very arcade-like. It's like, here's your score. Here's the score you need to beat. Go do it. There are, like, challenge runs, and there are, like, lots of different ways to kind of affect your run. There are increasing difficulties and whatnot that add, like, new stipulations. They don't just make the scores higher, which I like. They'll add things like, you know, you'll get Joker cards that once you've got them, you can't get rid of them anymore. Or stuff like getting upgrades costs more, so you have to be really careful about what you pick during your run. Stuff like that. Some of them are just the points are higher. Right. But yeah, very fun.
Just quick.
No story, though. If so,
quick, high good. Tempo fun.
Oh, yeah.
I can.
What about you?
Yeah, I can see how you can sink 50 hours into it.
Oh boy.
My game is Guacamelee 2. It is definitely a different vibe, equally as fun. It is a 2D platformer Metroidvania where you play as a lucha libre who in the previous game defeated the big bad, has retired, started family, but now the world is in danger and you gotta don the mask again and explore.
Have you played the first Guacamelee?
No, the beauty of it is, like, the very first level is the ending of the last level, just the boss fight, but just, like, less health.
Right.
And so, I looked online before I picked it up, it's like, do you need to play Guacamelee 1? No, you do not. You're good to go.
Although I do highly recommend Guacamelee 1. It's very fun.
Oh, you have played it?
Yes.
Yeah, Guacamelee.
I haven't played 2, though. I haven't played 2.
Okay, never mind. I'm sure you can relate to everything I'm saying about this. Yeah, it wears its Metroidvania influences on its sleeve. It is the full, like, where the statue where you get the upgrade is, like, completely modeled after the same one in Metroid. The story is not the best. It's simple and it moves you along, but you're here for the platforming and you're here for the combat, which is top notch. The combat, you really feel like you are this, like, buff, masculine lucha libre. You're kicking, you're punching, you're uppercutting, and then in the air you're kicking, punching, and then you pile drive an enemy straight to the ground. You got the combos, you got the effects. It all just, like, it's really punchy, the combat. And the platforming, not the best at platforming, but getting through, like, the main story, the main pathway, I can do it. It's just the optional side content, that's where, like, it really tests your platforming skills, which I think is a good thing. Side content should always be that much more, like, difficult step up really rewards players who like put that time in. And if you do die, the respawn is just like black and then respawn. So if you could just try and try and try again, which you will definitely do.
Yeah, I'll say the first game was much the same, where like the core stuff wasn't too bad, and then the side stuff was very challenging, but you also got some very fun, very silly upgrades if you went through doing all of it, which I did.
Damn.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
I do wanna. I'm about like 75% of the way through the story, and I do wanna run back around and grab everything up. This doesn't feel like a spoiler, but there is an area called the Dankest Swamp, and knowing your internet culture will definitely appreciate that area a lot more.
Yeah, the first game I think was pretty similar. I'll be honest, I don't love it when stuff relies on internet humor too much, which the first game was bordering on too much at times.
Yeah, the humor in this is a little outdated. A little. It's the non-referential stuff that is funny. The music knockout, and it's got some really interesting Mexican representation, like the whole Cinco de Mayo theme around it, and there's like actual like Spanish dialogue in it without translation.
I'm trying to remember if the first game even had any voice
Oh, there's no
acting. I don't
voice
think it
acting.
did.
Dialogue being just like text on the screen.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, but it's in Spanish with no translation. It's like, damn.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you're in the know, you get it, but you can really appreciate the culture with that.
Yeah, nice.
It plays really well. Nothing's like floaty and like controls are precise. Highly recommend Guacamole 2.
Guacamelee.
Guacamelee, sorry.
No, you're right. And let us know on Instagram what you've been playing at PlayerOneSin. If you've played Balatro or if you've played Guacamelee 2, what do you think of them? If you've played Balatro, please give me ideas of how to beat the orange steak. I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm bad at the game. What's a good Joker combo? Please tell me.
Are we both bad at games?
No, I did all the challenges in Guacamelee 1.
Damn it. You're listening to Player One Sin at Player One SYN on Instagram. Zach, where can we find us on podcasts?
Honestly, just anywhere you get your podcasts. You don't even have to look that hard. Just search Player One or Player One Sin. We'll be there, probably. And if we're not there, look somewhere else, you know? That's on you.
Let us know. We can put the podcasts wherever you listen.
Well, maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Or I think you can add them yourself. You know, it's a podcast. Just Google how to add podcast to podcast feed and you'll find us somehow.
So,
Anyway, we have some great content coming up. Of course, we're gonna be doing the quiz. Are you ready for a quiz?
it won't be player one without a quiz. Too
It would
competitive for
not be
that.
player one without a quiz. Yeah, we're gamers, and quizzes are games of some kind.
Yes. What else
Oh
do
my
we
god, we
have?
should find a trivia game of some kind.
Deal or no
Right?
deal on the Wii.
Deal on.
I distinctly remember
I.
owning some sort of like game show type game on the Wii.
That would make sense. It was the Wii. Did
Yeah.
you ever play the Buzz games?
Buzz games, maybe.
I remember I had them on PlayStation. I'm not sure if they were released on other systems. I had them on PS2, but they were like they were game show or like quiz games. No, they were like game show games, but they had their own like controller. So you'd get a controller that had like a big red button and like four colored buttons, and it would be like you were playing on like a game show. It was actually really cool.
Interesting,
Bring
yeah.
back wacky controllers, honestly.
2000s slash 2010s had some weird controllers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because no one knew what controls were good, and now they're all kind of the same, but also like they're all better. So anyway, so you stay tuned to Sin, catch that quiz. You know, maybe you can compete. Let us know how you do. lie about your score if you want to, but please don't. Or ask us some questions, you know, quiz us.
Quiz us.
Last month, the Player One team went to the Game Expo 2024, where we got to chat with Aussie developers working on brand new games. Here are some of the highlights.
Hello, so I'm Lyndon. Musically, I go by TweakLab, and I'm working on a game called Lighthaze World by Radio Bush, a studio formed in Tasmania. Cozy puzzle game with a focus on anxiety, the character. Just wants to get some dog food, and the puzzles that you're solving through the game represent what's going through their mind while they're just trying to do a task such as that. So the setting is all around Tasmania. So you've got Royal Park, Cataract Gorge, lots of landmarks, and just what was our backyard. So we've sort of sculpted that into the game as best we could.
So my name's Andrew. I am a developer, and the name of the game is Dolven. Two types of games I've always loved are card games and turn-based games. And so what we've done with Dolven is we've put together a game that combines both of those. Dolven has a card formation gameplay where you can essentially use your cards in a poker-like fashion. So I can get pairs, I can get three of a kind, I can get straights and flushes, and they all affect how the game is played. So it's really got that deep strategy involved in it.
My name is Joshua. I'm one of the two managing partners on Desert Beagle, and our game is Crush Zone Demolition Derby, which is like first Demolition Derby game to be out for a long, long time. Those old games, they are the inspiration. So like Destruction Derby, Wreckfest. There is actually a little bit of Rocket League in there in terms of some of the physics. And we just want to keep it simple. Like the main thing is it's supposed to be really easy to pick up. There's not too many controls. You just dive in. There's many different ways of combining the controls and the mechanics. You've got like nudge mechanics, hop mechanics, drifting, sliding. So that's the idea. Easy to pick up, hard to master.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm the lead artist at Ghost Moth. And we have our game Matchmaker Dungeon Heart. So Matchmaker Dungeon Heart is a queer and body positive dating simulator with match 3 battle mechanics similar to Puzzle Quest or Candy Crush. So we have 9 dateable people, and that includes like a minotaur, a gnoll, we've got a harpy, a myconid as well, and a doulahan, which is a headless horseman. There's several others. You'll have to meet them in the game. We wanted to really see what it was like to be the monsters in the dungeon rather than going in and killing them off.
Hi, so I'm Mads McKenzie, and I'm the director at Fine Feathered Fiends, and we're making a game called Draculish D, which is a romantic horror visual novel where you're stuck in Castle Dracula and trying to get out with the help of one of 4 hot people hanging out there. Each of the storylines has a kind of different horror vibe to it. Dracula's is very classic, like vampire, oh no, you're attractive but you want to kill me. The Ghost Route is a tribute to a lot of 80s extra dimensional erotic horror. And then the Bride's Route is getting into more like classic demon fiction, like, hey, you signed a demonic contract, what does that mean? Do we have to go to the crossroads at night and like play a fiddle to get out of it?
My name's Irene Mellis. My studio's name is Lumelli Studios, and we are emerging developers, and our game is Foodomina. It's a story-rich, sci-fi, food-themed RPG with pixel graphics and turn-based combat. A lot of the initial inspirations in terms of the game was designing inanimate objects into humanoid people. And so we love doing that with food. We also all collectively really love space. It was a passion project. We came up with the idea before we even started our bachelor courses. And we loved the idea so much that we were like, all right, we need to learn how to make a game so we can create it. And that was kind of our entry point into the games industry and taking our bachelor degrees to learn what we needed to make it.
My name is Lewis. I'm a senior developer at MaxArt. We're showing our game Servonauts here today. In Servonauts, you're an astronaut at a servo in space. So it's your job to send fuel to the customers who visit and try not to explode in the process. It's changed a lot at various points in its life. It was a fluid sim, it was a rhythm game. Now it's much more like a couch co-op, you know, Overcooked-like. We've been working on it for about 2 years. It's been a wild ride. It's very different now to what it was back then, but we've got it to a point just recently where we're really happy with it.
My name is Sam Leach. I run an indie development company called Soliloquy Games, and my game at TGX is Ren's Resurgence. It's a pixel art platform adventure game. You play as Ren, the main character, and she has to deal with an invasion of a yokai army. They kidnap her sister, Swan, and the whole premise of the game is her wanting to try and get her sister back. I'm a at-home dad, so it was a part-time gig for me. I had to learn how to use Unity, I had to learn how to code, I had to learn how to do pixel art, and 4 years later I have a playable demo here, which is amazing.
Hi, my name's Gerard from Broken Fixer Games. The game I'm showing off today is called Spelly Cat. It's a procedurally generated word game that mashes up jigsaws and mazes with word puzzles. A bit of a cryptic crossword nerd myself. It was a great experience to, you know, sit around at lunchtime doing the crossword with friends and stuff. I really just like word games, and so I wanted to make a game that was challenging for people that wanted, you know, the really, you know, the hardcore word people. But in what I made, I realized there could be other audiences, so trying to add the scaling difficulty is something that, you know, I'm still tweaking at the moment. Yeah.
Hi, so I'm Layla. I'm with Ambient Games, and we've got Polar Pathways. Polar Pathways is an explorative game where you just kind of go around the icy Antarctic as a penguin. You slide and waddle and interact with the environment. You kind of go where your heart desires. There's no constraints. You just listen to the music and the sounds and enjoy. We are inspired by games like Journey and Abzu, who are more chill and like explorative, and we have our little journey and story as well. So trying to kind of hone in on what audiences enjoy, but also what we want to create and are aiming to achieve, is like trying to find that balance.
My name's Nick. We're from a studio called Total Flip Studio, and working on a game called Which Way Up Galaxy Games. We kind of asked, what would it be like if we took Mario Galaxy and made it a multiplayer party game? It's 2 to 4 players, and you play round after round of unique, kind of almost like little mini games, which range from hitting like soccer balls into goals, running away from a black hole, throwing bombs at each other's planets, and other things like that. We're hoping to build in online multiplayer and a small little kind of challenge mode for single player, and which will involve a little bit of narrative exploration and like delving into the backstory of our cute little space celestial characters.
My game is Zodiac Mountain. My studio is called Mystic Road. The genre is a roguelike deck building game. Our game is about a panda who wants to become a Chinese zodiac, and he proves himself in battle against a lot of Chinese historical creatures. We have the Chinese 12 Chinese zodiacs as our main bosses, and smaller references to more unknown creatures like Bishi, which is one of the sons of the dragon. It's a great opportunity to dive into the Chinese market as well as the global community, because we find that this genre is starting to become more popular, and strategy games are always interesting, and I feel like it ties in well with historical and cultural games as well.
You just heard snippets of interviews with Australian developers at the Game Expo 2024. Make sure to stay tuned to Player One for more on games being made right here, right now.
Ravindu, how you going?
I'm doing good.
Not doing great, though.
No, a bit nervous, to be honest.
A bit nervous. It's time for the quiz. Have you been studying?
I have.
Ah, good. You've been studying your gamer knowledge. Yes. You've attended gamer class.
I have. High distinction.
All right. Well. Oh, high distinction. We'll find out. This is your final exam. All right. So we have 3 questions each. Who wants to go first? Or... I've just picked up a nearby D20. Should we do a roll off?
Oh, let's go for it. Let me find a dice to match.
All right, highest roller asks questions first.
Sounds good.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Rolling in 3, 2, 1. I literally got a nat one.
You start the game with -1 points.
No. I refuse.
I know, we'll keep it fair. I get a 12. I'll kick us off.
All right, kick us off. Question. Do your worst.
Question number 1. What is the fictional language in The Sims called?
Oh, that one's easy.
Would you like...
Simlish.
Yes, it is Simlish. All right.
Would you like to give me your best Simlish impersonation? Isn't that Animal Crossing?
Oh my god, that is Animal Crossing.
I thought Simlish... Yeah, because I thought Simlish was more like... Jabba-jubji. Jabba-jubju.
Yeah.
Kind of deal, right? And then the...
I got those mixed up. That's my bad.
Here's the thing. I initially in my head got them mixed up as well. It wasn't until you said yours, I was like, wait, no, that's Animal Crossing.
All right.
I'm one for one.
Let's go. Next question. The infamous quote, all your base are belong to us, belongs to which game?
Oh no.
Do you know the quote?
I do know the quote.
I have some options written down.
Oh, it's multiple choice.
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
All right.
What are the options?
A, Katana Zero. B, StarCraft. C, Zero Wing.
Okay. I know it's not Katana Zero because that is actually comparatively a new game, I believe. Zero Wing and StarCraft. See, my first thought was Star Fox. But that's not even an option, which is actually good for me. I'm pretty sure it's StarCraft. I'm gonna lock in StarCraft.
Unfortunately, it is not StarCraft.
No, it's Zero Wing.
It is Zero Wing.
Yeah. Katana Zero, isn't that from like 2019?
Yeah, Zero Wing, Katana Zero, I added there just to throw
No, fair. Fair. Oh, man. I feel like there is like a pretty famous translation like error in StarCraft as well, though.
Yeah, when I first heard it, I thought it was StarCraft as well. Sorry.
I knew it was like a space-themed game. Yes.
Alright. Final question. For potentially 3 full points.
What?
There are 3 requirements for fatality in Mortal Kombat.
Oh god.
3. You get all 3 right, that's 3 points.
Okay, so first you need to reduce your opponent's health to 0.
Yep.
Input a specific button combination.
Yep.
What's the third requirement? God, is it... I know some of them have distance requirements, but I kind of... Is that... That would be lumped in under, like, button combination, though, right?
I'm going to stop you there, because that is... Okay, so for the health requirement, there's a bit more specific one for that.
It's not just reducing to 0, though. I feel like there is something more specific. I don't know exactly what you have to do, though, because I know that, like, just reducing them to 0 is like a knockout. Oh, man. Is it that it has to be part of a combo?
No. The other two are correct. I'll give you that.
Okay. What is it then?
0 on the final round.
Oh, it can only be done on the final round. Yeah. I guess that does make sense, because how else are they going to get up?
Yep. Final round.
Yeah.
Specific combo and the right distance. But you got 2 out of 3. 2.5 base out of 3.
Okay, I mean, I'm pretty happy. So what, that puts me at
3 points?
I don't feel like... I'm not going to take the half point.
3 points, then.
I think final round is too specific. Because, like... Also, like, I should have been able to figure that out. Because, like, how... They need to get up after the round. And as funny as it would be, they're not getting up if they're torn in half. Although that would be incredibly funny.
That does
feel like the sort of humor Mortal Kombat would do.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be just like the reverse of the fatality. Whoop, next round.
Yep. All right. Three points. That means the score for you to beat is 3 points.
Yeah.
Which means you have to get every single question right.
Fingers crossed.
Are you sure you want to give me 2 points for that last one?
It was three options. I had to.
How about this? We'll put me at 2.5. That way, if you get all three, you win. I think that's fair.
Let's hear the questions first.
Part two of the quiz, where the points to beat are 2.5.
Very specific number. Very specific.
Well, here's the thing. I have three questions to ask you, which are only worth 1 point each, unless you somehow pull a half point from somewhere. So you kind of have to get all of them. How confident are you?
For all the marbles, I am not very confident.
I feel like we've established in these quizzes that, like, I know a lot of random game trivia, but I'm still bad at quizzes. So let's find out. All right.
Hit me.
Now, you're a Disney fan.
I would say so.
Have you ever played a Kingdom Hearts game?
Oh, no.
All right. Which of these movies does not appear... It's multiple choice. Which of these movies does not appear as a world in a Kingdom Hearts game? Big Hero 6, Beauty and the Beast, Treasure Planet, Hercules, or Mulan?
Not appear.
Which one does not appear?
Okay.
Talk me through your logic here. As a Kingdom Hearts fan, I might try and guide you towards the light, as they'd say in Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. So, can I ask you, when was the most recent Kingdom Hearts game released?
Kingdom Hearts 3 was released in 2019.
Okay.
So all of these movies had come out at that point.
Yes, right. So I'm thinking either Big Hero 6, Mulan, Treasure Planet,
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Hercules.
Hercules. So I definitely know Hercules is in it.
Okay.
Mulan seems like an obvious choice.
That's fair.
Beauty and the Beast. I think there's the Disney princesses in there. I'm not too sure.
Well, there's a lot of Disney princesses, so...
I am tossing out between Big Hero 6 and Treasure Planet.
Interesting.
The Treasure Planet is my favorite Disney film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I do not think it was big enough to be in Kingdom Hearts.
Are you locking in Treasure Planet?
I am locking in Treasure Planet.
You are correct, which is very sad because it would be awesome for that world to appear, in Kingdom Hearts. That'd be so cool.
Oh my god, 100%. Yeah.
So,
I can imagine all of those being in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the one that does feel like it's like, would this appear is probably Beauty and the Beast for me. But like, they really leaned hard into classic Disney with the earlier games, so it does kind of fit.
Yeah.
I mean, Hercules and Mulan, yeah, they're shoo-ins. Like, obviously they're going to appear. Big Hero 6, that was in Kingdom Hearts 3, the as of currently most recent Kingdom Hearts game. And a very contentious one. But I really like the Big Hero 6 world in it, except the dialogue sucks. But that goes for all of Kingdom Hearts, so that's okay. But the world itself is really fun, because I love open world city environments.
Yeah, San Fran Tokyo is amazing in the movie. So I'm pretty... Hopefully, does it do it justice?
I haven't seen the movie, I'll be honest. I actually have... Of this list, I've only seen Treasure Planet and Mulan.
Okay, I have seen all of them.
Well, there we go. But I have played basically every Kingdom Hearts game, so which one of us is really the bigger Disney fan, you know? Alright, let's move on. Let's go for a retro one. What is the fruit that Crash Bandicoot collects called?
What is it called?
Yes, have you ever played a Crash Bandicoot game?
I have not played it. I've seen gameplay, not played it.
Ooh.
Does it have a specific, like, wacky name?
It does, in the English version at least.
because it's like a orange slash like apricot type deal.
Yeah, I think they're meant to be like mangoes.
Mm.
I'll say right now, and don't take this as a hint, in Japanese, they're just called apples.
Okay.
But that is not a hint. That has very little to do with what they're called.
Right, okay. Okay. I'm thinking, so it's a retro game. It's got to have some, like, weird, like, rhyming.
Rhyming?
Ends in a... Not rhyming, like, ends in, like, a O.
Okay. What's your answer?
I actually got nothing. I'm just going to go with oranges.
They're called Wumpa Fruit.
Yeah.
Wumpa Fruit.
There was no way I was getting that.
Well, that's very sad. You can also get a Wumpa Bazooka in the game, I think the third game, that lets you shoot them. It's also completely useless because this is a platformer where you're supposed to be running the whole time. So, what's the point of stopping to slowly take out a fruit gun?
I didn't realize Crash had guns.
No, just a fruit bazooka.
Okay.
Actually, no, I think there's a family boss. I think there's some boss fights. I don't remember. Anyway. You know who does have guns? Nathan Drake.
Tell me.
Who played
Uncharted?
Yes, but that's not the question. The question is, who played Nathan Drake in the 2022 Uncharted movie?
Tom Holland, right?
It's Tom Holland. Yes. Did you see that?
Yeah, I have not seen it. Nope.
No, neither.
And I refuse to.
Really? Oh, wait, have you played an Uncharted game?
No, I have not.
Okay, they're fun. You should. If you like your story-based stuff, because gameplay-wise, they're fine. But it's like the story you're there for, you know? The camaraderie, the adventure, the treasure hunting.
Yeah, I've seen gameplay of it, but I can say that about like a lot of games. Oh, I've seen gameplay of it.
But, yeah, that's fair. I mean, of all the things to just kind of watch, Uncharted is probably the most fair.
Yeah, it looks
to
like
just...
a fun game.
It is fun. It is fun. Well, I think that means I'm the winner. With 2.5 points out of compared to 2. If we want to take my weird half point. Do you want... You can revoke that half point.
You got 3 anyway.
Did I?
You got Simlish, and you got 2 out of 3. So
yeah.
It was 3.5 versus 2.
But I'm also happy to... I'm happy to say that I would have just gotten 2 points out of that because I didn't get all 3 elements. This is, again, I'm throwing you a lifeline here. It's up to you.
And I'm saying I refuse. Zach,
all right,
take the win.
I'm taking the W then.
Thanks everyone for listening to Player One with Zach and Ravindu. Zach, how was our show today?
How was our show? I would say it was great. I'd say it was especially great for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. For winning the quiz. Oh, you're so right. You got that question right.
Do I get a point for that?
No, it doesn't carry over. The quizzes are roguelike, you know, once you're done, you lose all your points.
They don't carry over.
Yep. Anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah,
we had a lot of fun tonight. We did the quiz as per usual, and I won as per not usual. we also went on our deep dives talking about Balatro and Guacamelee 2, as well as the playlist, where I spoke about Metal Mind and Hi-Fi Rush, and Ravindu, you spoke about Inscription and Soulstone Survivor. Very, very keen to hear your thoughts on more of Inscription. I have never been so excited for someone else to play a game.
I am excited to talk about it, but I need some time to sit down and play it properly. Give it some justice.
Fair. So keen. But yes, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Make sure you check us out on the socials. We're on Instagram, at @PlayerOneSyn. That is PlayerOneSyn, all one word. You can give us a follow there. Send us a little DM. Ask us how we're going so that I can say that I'm great because I won the quiz. But also, you know, tell us what you've been playing. Give us any recommendations. We love to hear them. Yeah. And
GameRex, throw us some questions. I would love to do some user submitted questions.
Oh yeah.
Really, put our knowledge to the test.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If they're about Kingdom Hearts, though, I'm sold. I'm set.
Oh, it turns out if they're about Disney movies, I'm your guy.
Yeah. Hey, between both of us, we're unstoppable.
How, yeah.
Unless it's about Final Fantasy specifically, and then we're screwed.
Nope.
All right. And make sure you check us out on the podcast. Just Player One on Omni, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a listen.